Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits, Empty Stocking needs help. As time winds down in this year's fundraising for the Empty Stocking Fund, many in our community need help this year as a Merry Christmas meal and gifts for the kiddos are simply out of reach. Will you help the needy in Odessa have a Merry Christmas? The 28th year of the Empty Stocking Fund ends December 17th with a $100,000 goal to meet the needs in our community. The funds help families who are struggling to make ends meet. Many are single moms and grandmothers trying to raise a family in tough economic times. Funds donated to the Empty Stocking stay in Ector County and help local families. The Empty Stocking Fund, an annual fundraising effort by the Odessa American and the Salvation Army, will continue through December 17th. Empty Stocking funds go for a good holiday meal and small gifts under the tree for needy seniors and children. Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, or the Odessa American, 700 North Grant, Suite 800. Zip codes for both are 79761. Call the Salvation Army at 332-0738. The Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2.1 million. Donate online at tinyurl.com/YUD3KC3T. Diabetic Cardiovascular Health Support Group. Midland Health is offering a free support group for all community members who are interested in learning about diabetic and cardiovascular health from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. every second Monday of each month in rooms D100 102 at First Baptist Church, 2104 West Louisiana Avenue, Midland. Community Outreach and Cardiovascular Health, COACH, a group of people with cardiovascular disease sharing common experiences or concerns who provide each other with encouragement, comfort, and advice. Community Outreach for Diabetic Education, CODE, a group of people with diabetes sharing common experiences or concerns who provide each other with encouragement, comfort, and advice. For more information, call 432-221-2285 or email morgan.tennis@midlandhealth.org. Permian Basin Giving Tree ready to distribute toys. More than 3,000 toys were collected from the Permian Basin Giving Tree and will be given to local foster kids on Tuesday, a press release detailed. The Permian Basin Giving Tree was a success this year, and many local foster kids will have a wonderful Christmas, all thanks to the generosity of the community. Local organizations such as One Accord for Kids, the Attic Foster Network, and the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services received more than 3,000 toys from the Permian Basin Giving Tree this year. On Tuesday, representatives from these organizations will gather all the collected toys and distribute them to local foster kids across Midland and Odessa. There are currently over 500 children inside the foster system in West Texas, and many of these children will be away from families and loved ones during the holiday season. These toys and gifts will help kids have a normal Christmas and not be worried about if they will be able to get any presents from Santa this year. DPS reports multiple fatal wrecks in Ector County. The Texas Department of Public Safety issued press releases detailing a 15-year-old Gardendale boy and a 78-year-old Odessa man died in separate fatal wrecks on Friday morning. A 15-year-old Gardendale boy died in a rollover at 7 a.m. Friday on East Cottonwood Road, about a mile east of Gardendale, a press release stated. The 15-year-old was driving a 2003 Dodge Ram, and preliminary investigation showed the vehicle was traveling east on Cottonwood Road in a construction zone when it veered off the road. The Ram continued into a field and rolled over. The 15-year-old wasn't wearing his seatbelt, and he was pronounced dead at the scene by the Ector County Medical Examiner's Office. The 78-year-old Odessa man, identified as Isidro Hinojosa Menjores, died in a two-vehicle collision at 9 a.m. Friday on U.S. 385, about 4 miles south of Odessa. Hinojosa Menjores was driving a 2002 Ford F-150, while Jesse Porras Melines, 26, of Odessa, was driving a 1997 Ford F-250. Preliminary investigation showed the F-150 exited the Dollar General parking lot and was crossing the northbound lanes of U.S. 385. The F-250 was traveling north on U.S. 385 and collided with the F-150. Neither man was wearing his seatbelt. Melendez was transported to Medical Center Hospital and was in stable condition. Hinojosa Menjores was pronounced dead at the scene by the Ector County Medical Examiner's Office. To die in early morning wreck. Two people were killed in an early morning wreck Saturday, and a 19-year-old Odessa man was arrested on suspicion of intoxication manslaughter in the case. According to the Odessa Police Department, Jose A. Ramirez was speeding westbound in a Dodge Charger in the 4900 block of East 42nd Street when he struck a Chevrolet Malibu that was also traveling west. Ramirez's passenger, John E. Escontrias, 20, was pronounced dead at the scene of the 1 a.m. crash, and the driver of the Malibu, Linda Hernandez, 23, died at Medical Center Hospital. Ramirez was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of two counts of intoxication manslaughter, a second-degree felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He remained in the jail Monday. Bond was not yet set. Today's obituary for Tuesday, December 13th. Ozzie St. Clair Graham. Our beautiful, fearless daughter, Ozzie St. Clair Graham, passed away peacefully on the night of December 8th at 8:25. Ozzie came into this world on November 18, 2021 in Lubbock. Ozzie is survived by her parents, Holland Heron Ford and Philip Michael Graham, her sisters, Basil Louise and Cherry Elizabeth, maternal grandparents, Kristen Ford and Gregory Holly Ford, G-Pop and Lolly, maternal great-grandparents, Gay and Ron Heron, maternal grandmother, Jan Ford, paternal grandmother, Cindy Graham Grammy, paternal great-grandparents, Marcia Graham and Ted Darlene Parsons, aunts and uncle, Chandler Charles Ford, Haley Haven Ford, and Caitlin Page Graham. She is preceded in death by her paternal grandfather, Michael Graham, paternal great-grandfather, David Graham, and maternal great-grandfather, Dan Ford. A service to celebrate her short yet full life is scheduled at 2 p.m. on Thursday, December 15th at First United Methodist Church. The service will be followed by a time of fellowship with family and friends in the parlor. Please visit www.memorialdesigners.net for a service broadcasting schedule and an area to share stories of Holland, Phil, and Ozzie with her family. Lynette Marie Thomas, née Matcham, of Odessa, passed away at 51 years of age on December 8th at her home in Odessa after a battle with cancer. Lynette was born in Goose Bay, Labrador, Canada, at the American Base Hospital on May 5, 1971. She is survived by her immediate family, Her husband, Andrew, their three children, Matthew, Patrick, and Diane, Joey Stoll. Her parents, Ralph and Judy, sister Andrea, nephews McLean and Beckett Matcham of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, parents Bob and Donna Thomas of Odessa, and mother-in-law Andra Swick of Canyon. Her close friends and constant companions Teresa Royce and Wendy Rathbun. She also is survived by numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins in Canada and Texas. The family requests that, in lieu of flowers, donations in her memory may be given to West Texas Gifts of Hope or Professionals of Odessa Lions Club in Odessa, Texas. The families would like to thank Home Hospice Odessa, her doctors, all of her co-workers, friends, and family who provided emotional support and many prayers during this time. They were touched by the generous donations of their friends, families, as well as Odessa Regional Medical Center and Odessa Police Department work families. A celebration of life will be held at a small gathering of family and close friends after cremation at American Heritage.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, December 3, 2022. Viewpoints. West Texas Food Bank is here to make sure no one goes hungry. By Autumn Bohannon, West Texas Food Bank. Inflation is rising to historical levels. Wallets are being drained because of groceries. On average, Americans are paying $460 more per month to buy the same things they did last year. There are so many West Texans that are already pushed over their breaking point, and many more nearing it. This extreme situation is being felt all over, and the consequences will be felt from every direction for some time to come. The West Texas Food Bank is the closest victim to food costs skyrocketing. USDA pulled support for food banks across the nation that helped them bring in food items at a low cost. And make no mistake, the West Texas Food Bank is feeling the repercussions from it. It can be hard to imagine that our communities are a place in need, but the West Texas Food Bank is feeding more people than ever before. The Midland Pantry at the food bank sees more than 500 individuals weekly trying to get food. The Odessa Pantry almost triples that by seeing more than 1,300 individuals weekly. This fall and holiday season, families have been leaving the grocery store with less food in their grocery cart, and to make up the difference, families have been coming here to the West Texas Food Bank, said Libby Campbell, CEO of the West Texas Food Bank. It is time for those who can help, people, businesses, or organizations, to step up and make sure the West Texas Food Bank is stocked and make sure all demands are met, and to make sure that there is no child, no senior, no individual going hungry. Our families want to provide, but it is just out of reach, Campbell said. It is through the generosity of our community we have been able to meet the needs of our neighbors. I am asking our community to share what they can with their food bank this year. Our need is increasing, and food and fuel costs continue to rise. The West Texas Food Bank gives out more than 1 million pounds of food and feeds more than 17,000 individuals per month. The WTXFB serves 34,000 square miles and oversees 19 counties. They have more than 90 partner agencies and 21 mobile outreaches. You can visit the West Texas Food Bank website to donate. $1 equals 3 meals. Online, https://wtxfoodbank.org.
Letters to the editor. Tax abatement not needed for Pioneer Next Era Wind Farm. The Midland County Commissioners Court will soon vote on whether to provide Pioneer Natural Resources and Next Era Energy a tax abatement for a $234 million wind farm in southeast Midland County. It would mean that Pioneer would only pay a portion of the property's taxes for the next 10 years. Typically, local governments grant tax abatement agreements to incentivize businesses that will provide substantial job creation and economic benefit to the region. The proposed wind farm provides no economic growth to the county or its residents, and the Commissioner's Court should vote against it. The wind farm will only create 2 to 4 permanent jobs. It will create 150 to 200 short-term construction jobs, but transient workers with specialized skills typically fill these jobs. Pioneer is building this wind farm on land they own with the stated mission to reduce their emissions. However, they are a multi-billion dollar company that doesn't need to pay fewer tax dollars in order to achieve this. Pioneer will almost certainly build this wind farm with or without a tax abatement. Next Era anticipates the wind farm will produce 140 megawatts in a day, and a portion of that will return to the ERCOT grid. That electricity cannot be reserved for Midland County residents and therefore can't help to lower your energy costs. We should also be wary of more unreliable energy like wind affecting the reliability of the ERCOT grid. At the height of Winter Storm Uri, wind generated only 1% of ERCOT demand while making up 28% of the installed generation capacity for the grid. For these reasons and more, it would be bad business and poor stewardship for the county commissioners to provide an abatement for this private company's private endeavor. If you agree, please contact your county commissioner and ask them to vote no on the Pioneer Hut tax abatement. Rachel Walker. Midland Memorial comes through for Oklahoma Man. A 1,900-pound round steel cylinder rolled off a trailer and crushed my husband on October 17th, just south of Midland. He was bent over when it crushed him to the ground. The ambulance took him to Midland Memorial Hospital. I got bad reviews from people about the care from MMH. He had most ribs broke, fractured left humerus, C6 fractured, lumbar 1 through 4 fractured, punctured left lung, fractured left hip, and multiple contusions. First diagnosis was not good, but the amazing doctors and staff at MMH made a glorious difference in his recovery. God put all the right people in our lives. The nursing staff was outstanding. I listened to them day and night, encouraging Ronnie to have faith and believe. They helped keep his attitude up and encouraged. His physical therapist, Arturo, was so grand with Ronnie's therapy, they became friends, laughing and working hard together. Ronnie's recovery was strong and steady. Jose in occupational therapy taught him hygiene and getting dressed again. Our care was superb from janitorial, Edith, to surgical teams, Dr. Jeremiah. I recommend this hospital's care to anyone in need of care. Ronnie got to come home on November 18th by ambulance from Midland to Lindsay, Oklahoma. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone in Midland. Beth Adams Hadley.
Psychiatrist won't give up list of meds. Dear Dr. Roach, my sister has asked her psychiatrist for a list of the medications she has been on during the last few years. She would like to try a new one as she is constantly crying and seems disoriented. He won't explore changing meds and also won't give her the list, claiming he hasn't got the time. Isn't it illegal not to give her this information? Who should she contact in the state of New York? I'm very worried. This does not seem professional. Anonymous. Answer, I am not an expert on the law, but in New York, a patient has the right to see their medical records, with some exceptions, which might possibly apply in your sister's case. The first is that personal notes and observations maintained by the practitioner, i.e. the psychiatrist, may be denied by the practitioner. The second is that information that the practitioner determines may reasonably be expected to substantially harm the patient or others may also be denied. It is not clear to me how a list of medications would qualify as an exception, and I think it's likely that the medication list might not have been kept separately by the psychiatrist, requiring a review of all your sister's notes to create a list, which is indeed time-consuming and might be considered part of the personal notes and observations exemption. I have two suggestions. The first is to go through your pharmacy, who probably does have a list of all the medications she has been on, but I don't know how long her pharmacy may keep the list. That's likely to be the easiest way to get the information. The second is to have your sister see a second psychiatrist. Her current psychiatrist is more likely to give the kind of detailed information which another psychiatrist would need to formulate a new treatment plan directly to a colleague.
This is the Dear Abby column. Marriages and illnesses complicate land proposal. Dear Abby, my husband and I moved into a new rental house on my best friend's property a year ago. We love living here. We moved to be closer to my friend Noah, who is like a brother to me. He and his wife live on the same property. Noah was diagnosed with heart disease 2 years ago and was given a year to live. He has surpassed that estimate. He now wants my husband and me to buy the house we are renting. I'm hesitant because Noah's wife suffers from a mental illness. She has always been threatened by our close friendship, and if anything goes wrong in her life, she accuses me of sabotaging her. When she's stable, she's a nice and generous person. But recently, she has been experiencing hallucinations and severe paranoia. Noah wants us to stay because he needs our support. I'm afraid that after he's gone, she'll make our lives miserable and try to contest the ownership of the property. The property is in Noah's name only. He bought it before they got married. What should I do? Signed, Torn to Pieces. Dear Torn, your question is of a legal nature, and in no state of the union am I licensed to give legal advice. That is why you, your husband, and Noah need to schedule an appointment ASAP to discuss this business matter with an attorney who can give you guidance to ensure your interests are protected if this transaction takes place. Because it won't solve the issue of Noah's unstable wife. That question should be up to you and your husband to debate separately. Dear Abby, I have been trying to develop a relationship with my half-sister, and I'm getting very mixed messages. She is mostly polite and distant, but then there are times she'll disinvite me from her child's birthday party or unfriend me on Facebook, etc. She explains later that she did it out of anxiety, and she seems worried about being hurt. She has an excuse every time I ask to get together. I know she's affected by our father dying of cancer when she was young. She was 10 or 11. So I attribute her behavior to that and try not to take it personally. However, it hurts, and I'm tempted to give up. It is clear she has no interest in spending time with me. Should I stop trying to engage her? She talks warmly with our other shared relatives, but not with me. I don't think I've done anything wrong, so I'm baffled. Signed, Slighted in Minnesota. Dear Slighted, your half-sister appears to have emotional challenges in addition to her anxiety. That she would disinvite you to a family function after you had accepted the invitation was rude. It's time to take the hint and step back. Having a parent in common does not guarantee siblings will have a close relationship. My advice is to go on with your life and quit pushing for something this woman is apparently unable or unwilling to give. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.